join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Small Beginnings, Big Outcomes by Pastor Chandler Bailey.
We all have insecurities. We just don't talk about them. Many of the best people God used had insecurities. So I'm going to say this to you. Noah never built a boat. Ruth never had a Boaz before. David never killed a giant until he did. Adam never had a garden until God gave him one. Eve never had a man until God presented her to one. So what I'm saying is you don't have an excuse. Your excuses are the bullets to the fact that you do qualify for it, and that is yours. So that's why God doesn't make mistakes, because he puts you in something that he does not allow you to practice for. And then you penalize yourself because you didn't have a chance to practice for it. But God said, I'm going to give you something that you won't be able to get ready for. As much as David thought he was prepared for the giant, that's from our perspective. But I'm telling you, the giant did not look nothing like the lion and the bear. It did not. You're not David. From the reader's standpoint, we're like, well, God's so a genius. He prepared him from the giant by using the lion and the bear. No. Each encounter is different when you walk by faith. And so for those of us who have some level of success, they don't understand that you're still gritty and grindy and you're still believing God because they think you arrived. That's them looking at you from their perspective. But you know in your heart, God ain't done yet. God ain't done yet. They think you have some level of success. You're like, man, I just got started. Because God's going to take you to new levels and new heights. Mary never gave birth to a savior before. Can you imagine the teenager Mary? First of all, can you at least send a human being to tell me I'm pregnant? You send a celestial being, Star Trek, Star Wars angel. You are pregnant and you're not married and you didn't even have intercourse, but you're pregnant. Can you imagine the fear? I'm talking about scientifically the fear. What is this child going to look like? Scientifically. Then theologically, people are going to think I sinned because there's a Jewish girl and I'm about to get married. And then just practicality, my husband's going to think I cheated on him. So on three different layers and dimensions, she was small in her own mind on why God chose her to give birth to something that can save. On so many different areas. But see, God gave the capacity in her to bring forth Christ, not around her. That's why the Bible says there's no room for him to stay. That symbolically shows that even the environment wasn't ready for what she's about to give birth with. There was no room left. Isn't God a smart God? Sometimes your environment does not align with your breakthrough. But I'm here to tell you, you're carrying it. You're carrying your breakthrough. And just because they don't have room for you does not mean you don't have saving capacity. God has given you salvation for your family. And you're it. Say, I'm the it factor. You're it, but back to Mary. Mary never gave birth to a savior before. Moses never led families in the wilderness. Who wants to do that? And he came by way of a basket in the river. The point I want you to understand is God specializes with using insignificance. Your place of insecurity is God's place of security. If you can just stay insecure long enough for God to manifest himself. Now hear me out theologically. Insecure towards God, but with faith, confidence in front of man. But you got to stay broken in your prayer life. You got to say, God, I still need you. God, I know everybody's giving me accolades. God, I still adore you. God, I'll still come to the worship center on Saturdays and pray before my dad has me preach because I'm insecure in it. I still make sure my notes are the same size on my computer screen as well as my tablet. Because just in case, my mind has to catch up with what you put in my spirit. I don't want to make mistake before your people because I'm insecure in it. The best people you love have private insecurities. Every great person has private insecurities. Was Kobe and Michael Jordan that good, or were they really scared that they would miss? You don't know. All you saw is victory. All you saw is the accolades. But you don't know why he stayed after practice. Maybe he struggled with insecurity of missing a jump shot. God is setting your life up with brokenness. All those pieces are designed so that when you see Jesus, he makes them whole. Stop trying to put yourself together when God is designed to make you whole. Amen. Allow God to make it all make sense. Someone say it prophetically to God. Say, God, I'll allow you to make it make sense. I'll allow you to make the rape, the molestation, the loss of the job, the foreclosure, the car being repossessed. I'll allow you to make it make sense. Small beginnings, big outcomes. Judges, Samson was insecure. And Samson had a right to be insecure because he laid with a woman that was designed to take his destiny. He did wrong before God. So even in his wrongness, even in his sin, because he came to God insecure, God anointed him once more. Someone say once more. Once more. God's the God of second chances. God's the God of second chances. And so he prays and he says, God, they insulted me. They plucked out my eyes. But Judges says, remember me, please, God. Strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. After that, Samson was able to push down the pillars and everybody that was there to celebrate the fact that they caught God's handyman, that was became their funeral too. I know they say when you dig one ditch, you better dig two. But the truth is they better dig a lot of ditches. Because everybody who put their mouth against you while you were small and God anointed you, that is a setup. And God will find a way to make you see them again when you come out. Amen. Come on, can anybody attest to that? You in the airport and you see the bully from high school. You know, can anybody attest to that? No, seriously. God has a way of, you done forgot about that person, your ex, but they see you, what, your husband? No, seriously, am I crazy right now? God has a way of bringing back those things just so they can be like. God has a way of bringing you back through your past to see your friends and see people who are surprised that your country self used to sit there and eat mama's spaghetti too. I know, but the difference between me and you is you bullied me all my life. And so God's going to make sure you have to see my life for the rest of your life. Amen. Woo! I won't have to see you, but you'll have to see me in it. That's what the Lord's trying to tell you. Don't worry about them because they'll be worried about you. Small beginnings, big outcomes. God's place of security is directly connected to my place of insecurity. Insecurity reacts to God. The pre-qualifier for the glory of God is insecurity. Because if you're insecure, people don't believe you can do it. And once they believe you can't do it, that God says, yay, I get double glory. You get shocked and your boo does too. So you understand, that was my second point, that your insignificance is his significance. Small beginnings, big outcomes. Let's stand up and give God praise and say small beginnings, big outcomes. Come on, let's praise God right now real quick. Come on, I want to take a praise break. Just praise God for what God's doing in your life. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God, that you're going to make my life prosperous, and you're going to make these people's lives prosperous, and you're going to do a big work. Praise God. You may have your seats. This is not for my streaming audience. That's called a trick to wake people up. Wasn't that a real nice Joel Osteen way of doing it? Hey, guys, can we just stand up and just give God a praise? That person said, oh! Went right back to sleep. Hey, at least you gave God praise. That's all that works. Amen. All right. So God chooses the foolish things in the world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak in the world to shame the strong. All right? That's what he does according to 1 Corinthians 1 and 27. So here's the translation of it. So God made something strong and placed you in something weak. Small beginnings, big outcomes. Yeah, I come from the hood, but I got Harvard in my heart. Yeah, I come from poverty, but I have prosperity in my heart. Could it be that God literally made you with all the qualities you need to become it, then place you in an environment that looks like you disqualify so that you can be reminded that I don't belong here for all the days of your life until you work your faith and get out? God, I'm here to tell you that you have small beginnings, but God's about to unleash big incomes in your life because now you realize you never belonged there the entire time anyway. You never belonged in that relationship anyway. You never was supposed to be treated like that anyway. You never belonged there anyway. Let it go so it can grow. Let it go so it can grow into a testimony, into a story, into something that God can use to get glory out of. Someone needs to give God praise right there. Could it be that your place of insignificance is his place of significance? If God uses the foolish things to despise the wise, church, my question that I ask myself all the time, and it drives me crazy, is which one is the wisdom, though? If he uses the foolish thing to despise the wise, if the drug dealer gets a better job than the person who never sold drugs, which one was the wisdom? Was it God's favor or the fact that the drug dealer, who was the drug dealer, got a better job than the one who didn't sell drugs? Because both of them thought they were living the way they should. So God uses the foolish things to despise the wise. He gives a person who lives a corrupt life, a horrible life, a second chance at greatness. Which one is the foolish thing? Is it the fool that's the wisdom who lives a foolish life? Or is it God's wisdom and the ability to use something in craziness to produce glory? But I'm here to tell you, I don't care what your small looks like. Some of you are doing everything right and things are small. Some of you made a lot of mistakes in life. That's why things are small. But if you trust in the Lord your God, it will produce big outcomes. It will produce big outcomes. Another point I wanted to make to you this morning before we close is this. Small guy, big assignment. Small girl, big assignment. Point number three. We might close here. You're just a small guy with a big assignment. You're just a small girl with a big assignment. See, we call it the anointing of God. God calls it deciding. You're his decision. We call it anointing. No, you're his decision. God doesn't anoint us. He's not man. He doesn't need to anoint us. He decides, and then another man or woman anoints you for God's decision. God is not man. He does not need to anoint you. You're just a small guy. You're just a small girl with a big assignment. When you're a small guy or a girl with a big assignment, you have to trust in God's decision-making process. And just like the world reacts to the voice of God and light showed up because God spoke it, if God spoke riches in your life, it's going to show up because he spoke it. If God spoke favor in your life, you won't have to bring... Listen, your life, as long as you stay under the word, your life will grow and respond to what God's speaking over it. So I want to talk to you about a couple of small guys and small girls in the Bible. Just two, if I got a little time with you. According to Judges 6 and 7, Gideon was just a small guy with a big assignment. And God really bothered Gideon about being small. So even though he was a small guy with a big assignment, God, and this what this represents to you in the scripture, I'm going to summarize it and they can put it up if they want. I'm going to summarize. You may not get with me. But in Judges 6 or 7, for the sake of time. So Gideon finally believed that he was a great man of valor. He finally believed that God chose him, that he was his decision to free Israel. So he sits out and recruits army. And of course, he has a favor on his life. So everybody follows him. Because once God speaks something in your life, once you operate by it, everything in your environment is designed to follow your obedience to God. You're waiting for things to line up, but you ain't in line. Once you get in line, it will line up. So my point is, Gideon finally operates in obedience, and everybody starts to come and starts to serve him. And he has this big army. I think the Bible said 10 to 20,000 soldiers. And so that he starts off, and God says, the army is too big. He said, the army's too big. And if y'all defeat your soldiers, even though I gave you a rhema word, your soldiers don't got the same word you have. So even though you got the word, your family members don't got the same word you have. So God sometimes downsizes friends, family members out of your life so you can be a surprise attack. And you're wondering why everybody's leaving you. It's a setup so God can say that I use you from nothingness. Back to Gideon. So God says, Gideon, your army's too big. And he said, they're going to think that they defeated the enemy. So he downsized it to a couple other thousand. And God said, it's still too big. He said, go to the river, and the ones who drink, those are the ones who drink, who are ready, who are getting water, but still ready to look for the enemy. Those are the ones you have. And at the end of the day, it added up to 300. My point I want to say to you this afternoon is this. God is about to downsize you so he can surprise you. All Gideon needed was a little bit of men. All you needed was something small for God to create a big outcome in your life. See, God speaks to us from the perspective of, I can do big with the little you have. But we counterattack it with lack of faith from the perspective of, how can you do big with just this little? But God is saying you need to reverse the lie you're telling yourself and say, God's about to do something big with my little. Come on, say that right now. Say, God's about to do something big with little old me. I'm just a small girl, small guy from the city or the project or the country, wherever you come from. You're just that in some other person's eyes, but God has a big perspective regarding your life. See, Gideon didn't need a large army. He just needed a few careful, bold men who would do exactly what their leader commanded them to do. Another smart person with a big assignment was Esther. This one really blesses me, because it doesn't say Esther had a business license. Esther wasn't even a Proverbs 31 woman. She didn't do anything. All she had was a relationship. Y'all like 300? It's another word in the Bible, but they said that the king at that time was Xerxes. And so Xerxes kills his wife because the servant that he had was always lying to him and manipulating him. So he kills his first wife because it looked like she had her own mind and it looked like she wouldn't submit. So he got lonely. He needed another wife. So he sent his servants and dispatched them to the provinces. And they found this woman named Esther. This woman named Esther was very, very, very beautiful. And the Bible says only three things about her. I don't know if I have it in my scripture for some of y'all, but I want you to know the three things it said about her. It said that she was graceful, and she was beautiful, and she was liked, or something. There's just three attributes. It didn't say nothing about any type of equipment she had or anything she could do. She just was beautiful. And at the end of the day, she was a small girl, a small Jewish girl with a critical assignment. God's about to give someone in here who you think is small, he's about to give you a critical position. If they knew how you talk, they wouldn't let you they wouldn't let you cut on them after you get out of med school. If they knew you sold drugs, they wouldn't buy that car from you. But you about to switch systems, and you're like, man, I can flip cars. God is about to use your... He's about to use the foolishness that's in you, and he's about to do it to surprise everybody. Back to Esther. You might be small, but he calls you to the critical. The concluding factor of Esther is this. At the end of the day, because of the relationship Esther had with King Xerxes, all the Jews in the province, there was the 13th day of the month that servant who tried to manipulate the king scheduled all the Jewish people to be killed. That is the day that it got flipped in reverse so that all the Jews were permitted to kill their enemies instead. Somebody has scheduled to cause you harm. That day is going to be the reverse day. God's saying, even though the notice says you have until this time to pay it, change the sentence in your head. This is the day you'll be paid with more than enough for it. You have 15 days left and then you got to get out. No, no. In 15 days, God's about to open the floodgates of heaven. Within 15 days, God's about to open the floodgates of heaven. And I'm going to have more than enough for any man who's trying to make me become a servant. Because I'm the lender and I'm not the borrower. In the name of Jesus. So Esther's relationship was essential to everyone else's breakthrough. And all her role was is just to be a wife to a man who was great. I want to encourage you and tell you that some of you are about to come into a relationship and you are going to try to pre-qualify yourself to be in that person's life who you think is bigger and better than you, who's more popular. But God's saying has nothing to do with what you do, has everything to do with who you are. They sent people for someone with your type of trait. I wanted someone who could smile through pain. I'm telling you, look, real entrepreneurs who start businesses, yeah, they want you to have all this other stuff. But the ones who started their companies from the ground up with grit, they look for other stuff because it's theirs. They're not the CEO who was hired on just to produce numbers. The ones who carry the baby, they hire a certain type of employee because they still care for it. I'm here to tell you, God has given you some qualities that are attractive that supersede your education. If you knew how good you look when you was broke, if you knew how good you look when you weren't going through a divorce, you know how to keep a straight face. They want you, boo. They want you because you know how to wait for God and you know how to keep a good attitude through pain. And God is about to use what you think that's insignificant. He's about to use the area of life that you think is small and give you a critical assignment that's going to be a big difference to produce big outcomes. And to this day, if you know a Jewish person, they still celebrate that 13th and 14th day of that month annually, all because Esther was married. That's it. All because of relationship. And God is about to open up a door. I prophesy over your life right now. You're about to encounter and walk into some relationships that you did not ask for. Because my last point this afternoon is this. He clothes his glory in foolishness. I'm going to sit in this. He clothes his glory in foolishness. He hid your man of God in the projects. He closed. I need help. Help me, Ms. Angel. Help me, Ms. Angel. I need somebody to help me out with this. Put this on me. Put this on me. Put this on me. He closed his glory. No, I want to wear it. I want to be clothed when I surround me. He closed his glory in foolishness. He allows the next millionaire to have more student loans than they can imagine. He clothes his glory. L.A. needs you because you're in South Carolina. He clothes. You don't need to go to L.A. L.A. needs you. He clothes his glory in foolishness. He clothes his glory. Thank you. He clothes his glory in foolishness. He allows you to wear it so you can be hidden. Because you're just a small girl. You're just a small guy with a big assignment. Big assignment. Big assignment. He hides you in foolishness. I hate this apartment you're heading. Why am I driving a car like this? I don't want no one seeing you right now. I'm hidden. I'm hidden. I'm hidden in the country. I got this country swing. And I'm trying to shake this mentality so I can look like everybody else, but it doesn't work. I listen to podcasts and you listen and you read books, but you still got that thing in you, your hood. And we can see it coming. You try your best to answer the phone, but when someone says something wrong with you, it comes out, your hood. You tried to hide your gangster until someone cuts you off, your gangster. Because God has hidden their supervisor with gangster mentalities. Because one day, that business ain't gonna need no softy to run it. They're gonna need someone with a mouth who can say something that no one else wants to say. You don't need to change nothing about you. You are it. He hides his glory in foolishness. He hides it in foolishness. He hides that you, pastor, with ADD and ADHD in middle school. He hides me in foolishness. He allows, he works it in Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for the good of those who are in Christ who simply love him. That's God's needle and thread. Sometimes you mess up your clothes. But God takes the Romans 8 and 28 and he sews it in. And by the time they announce you, they say something that you can't handle. Because I don't see it coming because I'm surprised, because I am the surprise. I'm not saying this in a cocky way. I'm saying this in an insecure way. Because if you knew that I got text at 10 p.m. last night to preach, because I thought mom and daddy were going to be here in the pulpit, and sometimes I don't feel like I qualify. If you knew the pain associated with this moment, you will realize that you can help. You can receive the pain of your moment, because your next miracle is in your doubt. Because your doubt will create an altar before God, and you'll pray about it and you'll labor for it. And you'll stay in it because you'll be like, I'm not as good as daddy and mommy. And your brain is designed to clothe you in foolishness. He allows the intercessors to go through the most pain so they can be touched with the feelings of the infirmities. All you did was pray all your life. Why everybody had to die though? He wanted to make sure that when you hug someone who goes through death, it's real. He clothes you. In foolishness, because no one can give a hug like you. Everybody knows a real hug. Everybody knows what real care feels like. Why does the people who care the best been through the worst? Because he hides his glory in rags of filthiness. Filthy, filthy, filthy marriages. I don't even know who my daddy is, but you're the best basketball coach ever. And you love kids, but no one was there to love you. Because he hides, he hits you. Because you were made here, but he placed you there.
God's desire for us is that our latter end would greatly increase. We may think that what he has for us is small, but in the end, if we allow him to use us, we'll have big outcomes. In the message, Pastor Chandler Bailey gives us biblical examples of people who had small beginnings, but big outcomes. You can order this message today by calling 877-798-5433 or go online to www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for Small Beginnings, Big Outcomes. As we continue to socially distance, be sure to stay connected with us online. Stream our services on Facebook and YouTube, as well as rdci.info via the Watch Live tab. Sunday morning services are at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on YouTube, Facebook, and our website. Wednesday Bible study airs at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study airs at 12 noon via Facebook Live. Consider connecting with us as a partner or an iChurch member. More information about our partnership and iChurch member services can be found on our website at rdci.info. For consistent updates and encouragement, connect with us on social media through Facebook at Right Direction Church International and on Twitter and Instagram at @TheRDCI. Right Direction Ministries, transforming lives and impacting generations.